It's time now for The Way We Hear It.
Yes, this is Pro Football Weekly's Way We Hear It. And surprisingly, for the first week in June, there's a fair amount of stories that are getting people's hackles up, if nothing else. And I wouldn't say getting people's hackles up, but kind of a fascinating story for people around the league. I'm Hub Arkish. Nate Atkins, our associate editor, is alongside. And Nate, some interesting comments from Ray Farmer, the former general manager of the Cleveland Browns, late last week, early this week, in which he said that all of Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, problems are not Johnny Manziel's fault, that he felt that the Cleveland football organization let him down a little bit as well. He specified and was very honest in saying it was never a unanimous decision in the war room to draft him in the first round in the first place. He said that he was brought in with ridiculous expectations, that he is one of the few players to come out of college football with already a Rolling Stones cover, was I think one of the euphemisms he used, and that Cleveland could have done a much better job of supporting him. Now, there's an add-on to that story, but before we even go there, I know that you know you're from the area, you grew up a Browns fan, your thought, and we've got to add, of course, this is a former GM, and some of it could be sour grapes, but he was very honest about some of the things that went in behind the scenes before he was even drafted.
Yeah, I was actually impressed to hear Ray Farmer come out and admit this, because it would be easy to just say, well, look at this guy, look at all the problems he created. Johnny created so many of his own issues with drug and alcohol abuse and his partying and his videos and lying about the videos. And he wasn't mature enough to handle this. But it was refreshing to hear a GM admit that this wasn't exactly new when he was coming out. These concerns were there. It wasn't obviously to this extreme where now he's looking rail thin and you're all concerned about his life and his health and he's got domestic violence issues. None of that was out there, but they needed to support him a lot better in the sense that they needed an organization on board with this, because when you take Johnny Manziel in the first round, you're trading up to get him. If you're going to do a gamble like that, you've got to just go full go with it. Say, we know this is a big risk. We've looked for a quarterback for a really long time. We're going to try this with this gunslinger type guy who's got kind of a wacky personality. We're going to try and manage his dysfunction a little bit. This isn't an organization that knows how to handle dysfunction, though. This is, we're talking about an owner who's under investigation for fraud. We're talking about a general manager, Ray Farmer himself, who got hit with a texting scandal sanctions. We've got, you know, they had an offensive line coach who was fired for his own drinking problem. And then they let Johnny Manziel as a rookie hang around Josh Gordon, who's the most messed up individual on that team when it comes to substance abuse. They kind of just pushed him into the backup role when Brian Hoyer took over, and all of a sudden, you know, he just kind of fades into the background. He kind of falls into his foibles a little bit. So it was just refreshing to hear them admit that there's a little two sides to this.
Well, and I immediately started going back a couple of years, touch base to refresh some of my sources' opinions when Manziel was coming out of A&M. I would say 20% of my sources, which you could category as six or seven teams, had him off their draft board. They either done their homework, they knew that there were more problems than other teams realized. Although more than that, some felt you can always, you know, teach a kid. You can change him. It's not like you're trying to teach an old dog new tricks, but they also felt that he just wasn't going to be an NFL quarterback, that he was too small, he didn't have an NFL arm. Then I would say about 65% of my sources, so now you're talking about the majority of the league, felt that he was a third, fourth, fifth round pick, that he might eventually be a backup who could step in, win three, four games for you. It was no more than 10 to 15% who actually thought that this young man was a first round pick. And so where Farmer has to take some responsibility is when he says it was not unanimous in the war room, we've all known for 2 years that it was Jimmy Haslam, the owner, who pushed this on him as the GM, but maybe it was at that point where either he as the GM or his head coach needed to step up and say, wait a minute, we got to play this kid. We don't think he can get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. They needed to step in early on and get on the same page, first of all, and really, like I said, be full go if you're going to go with Johnny Manziel. And then if you do take him, you do need to play him at some point. And Brian Hoyer came out and he played really well when Johnny was a rookie, and you still need to have this understanding that Johnny was your quarterback of the future and find a way to develop him. And unfortunately, they didn't really put a lot of attention into developing him, and you saw that when he finally got on the field.
Well, to bring us to current, Ray Farmer is the former general manager of the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel is under indictment for domestic abuse. He has also now recently been sued in a civil suit for him and his buddies trashing an LA home for, I guess it was a bachelor party they had, and he is not with an NFL team. and isn't going to be with an NFL team until he gets himself through some type of rehab and tries to prove that he is ready to exist at the NFL level. The other big name in the story, the other big story and big name in the news this week, it doesn't get any bigger, Roger Goodell has managed to step in it again in a couple places. He showed up at Jim Kelly's celebrity golf outing, charity celebrity golf outing. And first, let us say how great it is to see Jim Kelly back at his own outing. It was just 2 years ago that he was struggling in an epic battle against cancer to save his own life while the outing was going on without him. He is doing well, in much better health right now. We wish him nothing but the best. Roger Goodell showed up for the Hall of Famer and, speaking to reporters, said that there is no path to a settlement of any kind with Tom Brady, and that people need to understand that he is worried about the integrity of the game. Now, Nate, I'm talking to sources at the ownership level. I'm talking to sources in the front office of NFL teams who are saying, why doesn't the commissioner understand that is exactly what he is destroying with his Tom Brady witch hunt? He set out to convict him. He did not set out to do an independent investigation, when even with a biased investigation and stories being leaked everywhere, they couldn't prove that he had done anything wrong. He still went after him with an onerous, I forget, one of the judges called it, just a completely out of line punishment. And now he's talking about the integrity of the game. He has shown no integrity in this thing from the time that he started it, and he's getting nothing but negative backlash again for a story that he has to understand. If he would let it go, he might have a chance of getting back the reputation and the power that he once had in the commissioner's office.
Yeah, I'm not one to give too much sympathy to Tom Brady and the Patriots, because I think, especially on New England side, they have a track record for cheating. They've been caught doing it, and they've accepted their punishment for this one. But absolutely, it has turned into a witch hunt with Tom Brady, because he has overstepped every little boundary he's placed in there, especially look at sort of the guidelines that were there for equipment-related infractions that he was going to step in and do. He's kind of made up his own rules as he goes along here. He's going on about wanting to claim his cell phone and take Tom Brady's cell phone, and really trying to set a precedent that he can do that with anybody. And that really starts to destroy the integrity of the league, and especially when, like you said, when you get to the point where you have to prove that someone actually did something, which has been lacking there for a guy who, granted, there's an investigation going on and he's trying to sort it out, but without it being that set in stone, to come out and say, you know, there will be no settlement, he's guilty, we're going to prove it, you know, it's just going a little too far for Roger Goodell.
You know, and Nate, I understand there's a lot of Patriot haters, Brady haters out there. Maybe haters too strong a word. But this is me, Hub Arkish, putting my reporter hat on. This is not me editorializing or offering an opinion. The NFL made it absolutely clear in the Spygate or Videogate incident that Tom Brady had no role, no part in it whatsoever. And in their own biased investigation, trying to hang this on him, the evidence suggested it was far more likely that nobody cheated in the Deflategate incident. And so that's where the problem comes in. I get that there's fans who just want to get Brady, but in this case, that's what Roger Goodell is battling. And then he doubled down and made it worse. Of course, Jim Kelly's charity event was in Buffalo. The Pegulas, Terry and Kim Pegula, who just bought the team a few years ago, just completed $130 million worth of renovations to their stadium in Buffalo at the end of 2014. And now here, prior to the 2016 season, Roger Goodell tells the local media the Bills need to build a new stadium. He knows that there is no funding for it. There's no impetus to get it done. And it really did not play well in Buffalo, and again, because of all the problems he's having right now, it's not playing all that well nationally either.
No, it's not. It's kind of every time that he goes out and he wants to make a proclamation like this, he kind of steps a new boundary over and kind of has people shaking their heads about it. And you're right. For a second, I just want to take on Tom Brady. You're absolutely right. It's a separate case from Spygate, and that's the problem, is Brady wasn't specifically a part of that, and it's kind of a backward punishment for what they didn't do with Spygate. But with the Buffalo one, it is interesting, because at the NFL owners meetings, different owners talked about on the record that they do think Buffalo needs a new stadium. I think a lot of people there would admit that, but it's one thing to say, yeah, we'd like one, we need one, and to actually find a way to get it done. And that's a whole new step beyond what they already took, which is $130 million in renovation. It's finding a place for it. It's finding someone to fund it all. And this is stuff that Goodell doesn't want to worry himself with. It's easier to just step back and say something bland like get a new stadium and make other people figure it out.
Well, now, Nate, you just nailed the issue. I mean, the problem is there's a dozen teams that need and would like a new stadium. I mean, you know, you got Kroenke building the Taj Mahal of football stadiums in L.A. Everybody's going to want to keep up. It's not just Buffalo. Buffalo is one of the ones in most dire need. But what what the NFL doesn't want, what is not good for them, is franchise relocation. They don't want expansion. They'd love it because they could charge money for it, but they know they don't have the talent for it. Mm-hmm. And so the insensitivity of going to Jim Kelly's charity golf outing in Buffalo and making your proclamation there, it just continues to suggest that Roger Goodell doesn't get it. That's what we're hearing from people around the league. For all the best in Way We Hear It, news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, stay right where you're at ProFootballWeekly.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.